frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Like the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they on a boat with billowed sails, and Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came, and pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. He couldn't pet that, and I know that's but true. Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist.
Don't you just love the music of the 60s and our music team? Woohoo! So, thank you for joining us this beautiful Sunday morning, and all of those that are live streaming, thank you. Oh, the beautiful flowers are donated by Judy Killian Weber in memory of her mother, Dorothy Killian, who would have turned 81 today. So, thank you. I'd like to call your attention to the insert in your bulletin. We have a lot of wonderful things going on this week and next week at Unity Minneapolis, as usual. Big excitement next Sunday, October 2nd. It's Friendship Sunday at Unity Minneapolis. Come and be our guest next week. Bring your friends and share with us the blessing of your beautiful souls. We have invitation cards you can give to your friends. They're available from the ushers or out in the garden court. So check it out. Also, next Sunday on October 2nd, 1 to 2 o'clock, Cookies, Juice, and Nancy. You are invited to join Nancy Maiello, our Youth and Family Ministry Director, to learn more about our Sunday morning activities and special events for the children and the teens at Unity Minneapolis. and never let it be said that we leave anybody out at Unity Minneapolis, because we are also having our annual pet blessing. So at 2 o'clock. So it is, like Reverend Pat would say, a jelly-packed day of fun and activities. Woo! We invite you and your beloved companions to this wonderful pet blessing experience. We will also have a pet healer there if you so desire. So please join us. And then last but not least is our annual fall book study. Here we go. I got the study guide. Don't you worry. Here it is. We are very excited about this year's annual fall book study. We're kicking off our new Spirit Circles ministry, and we have Spirit Circles study guides right here. Sign-ups out there in the garden court, which are it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience, because the book we're doing is The Power of Forgiveness. And so I encourage you to sign up early so that we know how many study guides we need to plan for. So, and if you haven't already done so, it's the last Sunday to stop by the registration table in the garden court to confirm your membership status. And now, one of the WOU, Women of Unity, have something wonderful to share with you.
Good morning. As a member of the Women of Unity Leaders team, I'm here to tell you, good vibrations. Sorry. I think I have to take this. Hello, this is Mary. Well, hi, how are you? You want to know if you've already missed the women's fall retreat this year? Well, funny you should ask that. I was just about to share some information about that with a few other close friends. So listen up. This is the last week to register for next week's October 1st Celebrate, Energize, and Empower afternoon retreat. You can complete a paper registration in the garden court or go online and register with a credit card. This experience is designed to provide unity and like-minded women an opportunity to refresh and recharge before the Minnesota winter sets in. So if you have questions, please follow up with me or another person out in the garden court today after service, and I hope to see many of you wonderful Unity women at that retreat next week. Thank you. Oh, and thank you for calling.
There are many other classes and events going on here at Unity Minneapolis, so if you have any specific questions, check your bulletin, the garden court, the peak of the week, and if that hasn't answered any of your questions, you can also call the office or check our website. So if you have a cell phone or electronic device, before you silence them, please check in on Facebook and let people know where you're at, and let them know that they too are welcome here, wherever they are on their spiritual journey. So let's begin our service with prayer. Let's just take in one of those deep, gentle breaths. And we thank you, Spirit. We thank you for this day, the gift of today. We thank you for this spiritual community. We thank you for your love, for all that is ours to give. We thank you for all of these beautiful congregants online, present, all of the volunteers, all of the staff. We thank you for your wisdom and guidance in every single second. Thank you. And so it is. So we let it be. Amen. So let's celebrate this wonderful, wonderful rainy day. My gosh. It's very nourishing. We begin our services by affirming together our core values, vision, and mission statements. They're printed in your bulletin. So let's start with our core value. Together, we are a loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. And our vision, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. And our mission, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. Thank you. These individuals arrived early to hold sacred space for us and are here to support you in prayer for any celebrations, joys, or concerns you'd like to pray about. They will listen with the ears of their heart and hold it in the strictest of confidence. So if you have something you'd like to pray about, please seek one of them out. I assure you it'll be a blessing for them as well as for you. Thank you. So please stand for our opening song, This Land Is Your Land. The words are printed in your bulletin.
Wow, the congregation sounds great this morning. I think it's because all of you relate to that song in some way or the other. It's good to have you here today. Unity is that positive path for spiritual living, and we do offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. Unity is also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning as a community is to acknowledge our guest. So today, if you're with us for the first, second, or third time, we invite you to allow us to honor your presence here today. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. All courage, a lot of courage out there. Keep that hand up. Keep the hands up. Keep those hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a welcoming CD in that packet. There's also a pink card if you choose to fill out any part of that card. Turn that into our book desk. Then we have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. One of the reasons why this is so important for us to say is because it really comes from our heart. All right, this is on behalf of not me, but behalf of our congregation. I forgot to say that at the earlier service today. Three people came to the line and reminded me that I forgot to say that. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It really means that it's part of our culture. We also truly, truly invite us to greet each other, and we do that with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we hug, let's rock and roll, okay? So if you did not get a chance to speak with the person that you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea so you can speak to that special person that you missed. And now that you're all seated, this next song is certainly a stand-up song. So let's stand up together as we sing together, If I Had a Hammer, If I Had a Hammer.
Into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is whole. I accept wholeness as a divine blueprint of my being. Wholeness is the divine design of my being. When I align my thinking with this truth, I invigorate wholeness in every atom and cell. Myrtle Fillmore wrote, "God is one perfect life flowing through us. God is the only reality of us. All else is but a shadow." I focus my awareness on patterns or beliefs that are not part of God's will for me. I bring negative self-talk and doubts out of the shadow and release them into the light of transformation. Releasing lifts my consciousness for a new expectancy of wholeness. I speak words of truth, love, and gratitude to my body. My whole being, body, mind, and spirit, responds to divine life. I am renewed. And scripture tells us, "If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays." The word for today is whole.
Take some deep, gentle breaths. Breathe in that presence that we know is spirit. Spirit within, the kingdom of heaven within. And as you breathe out, feel your body relaxing. In keeping with teaching each other, children of all ages, let us strengthen our chakras as the children learn to do them. We are all one. We are children of the Most High. Let us affirm the following to ourselves, strengthening our chakras as all children of the Most High do. Your first chakra, I am strong and confident. Think of a time you felt strong and confident. Our second chakra, I feel happy and excited. And again, think of a time when you were happy and very excited. and our third chakra. I know I understand. Even though the appearance of confusion is present. Our fourth chakra. I love all people and myself. And our fifth chakra. I speak clearly every time I speak. And our sixth chakra. I use my eyes to see images of good always. And our seventh chakra. I feel included and not left out in any situation. And now, as we relax in the silence, we know we are happy, strong, confident, understanding, loving in all situations. We've only to claim it, and it is ours. Let us rest. And now, as we return to this space and time, opening your eyes when you're ready, and knowing we are healthy, whole, and strong in every moment, and we just need to claim it. And it is ours. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen.
You can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the ones they fix, the ones you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they of tender youth.
Do you care?
Can know the fear
you see
that your elders grew by.
Must be free
and so
to teach help your children.
them with your youth. They seek the truth before they count on. Teach your parents well their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they pick, the ones you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
So our lesson title today is Teach the Children. Teacher, Craig, you know you can't sleep in my class. I know, but maybe if you were just a little quieter, I could. Stressing the importance of a good vocabulary, the teacher told her young students, use a word 10 times and it shall be yours for life. From somewhere in the back of the classroom came a small male voice chanting, Amanda, Amanda, Amanda. Hey. Student, I don't think I deserve a zero on this test. Teacher, I agree, but that was the lowest mark I could give you. Okay, that one we'll leave out next time. So, teach the children. Scripture has a lot to say about teaching children, and I just want to share a few verses of that. In Proverbs, teach your children to choose the right path, and when they are older, they will remain upon it. And then also, from Matthew. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, which of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a small child over to him and put the child among them. And then he said, I assure you, unless you turn from your sins, and in unity we would do the metaphysical interpretation of sin as error thinking, unless you turn from your error thinking, your ways, and become as little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we teach in unity also that the kingdom of heaven is where? Right here, right now, in the present moment. Therefore, anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So when we become like little children, letting go of all what we think we know, staying in the present moment, aware of that divine presence, then we are truly experiencing the kingdom of heaven. And as I say in many of our christening blessings, children, child blessings, that our children, just as the song David sang, they have come to teach us. They have come into life longing for itself. Life longing for itself, these children have come to teach us, and it's our responsibility not only to teach children, but to learn from these children, because they have chosen you. They have chosen you as their parents. Another teaching in Matthew, some children were brought to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples told them not to bother him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he put his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. So, you know, in my spiritual journey, I have had to do a lot of forgiveness work around my parents. I'm sure I'm not the only one in the space that's had to do that. And yet, I have come to that conclusion that my parents did the best they could at that time, or they would have done differently. We act according to consciousness. And that's where my parents were at that time. And perhaps you are a parent. And perhaps you think back on the times that you were parenting your children. And perhaps there's some not so proud moments in that process. And yet, I teach and I believe that we must be gentle with ourselves, knowing that we too did the best we could at that time of our own spiritual unfoldment. So the lesson today is teach the children, and I was feeling less than adequate. Do you know what I mean? Feeling less than adequate because I felt that I certainly didn't have all the experiences around teaching children, and I don't. And at the same time, I wanted you to hear from some active members in our community that are truly in the process of teaching our children, have been there and doing it still. And all three of these individuals, as I said, are active within our community. The first speaker today will be Angie Kilcher. She has been involved in our youth and family ministry program since 2007. She has taught our Uniteens and our YOU. Our Uniteens is junior high, and our YOU is senior high. Before serving in this area, this has always impressed me, she was our first female bus driver here. And I loved it, Angie. I just loved it, because Angie does, whether she's driving the bus or teaching children, she puts her whole self into it and dedicated to her work here. She's one of our YOU sponsors that was here overnight with 8 kids last night. So that's dedication as well. How was the floor, Angie? She is employed with the YWCA, where her passion is truly children and family. We are blessed to have her here at Unity Minneapolis. Our second speaker is someone I want to be like when I grow up. I have seen him as an active parent with Brock and Agnes. I so admire this man. He is employed as a paralegal. He also serves as secretary of our board of trustees. He really takes time to be a good father. I've seen that in action, just with his interaction here with his children here in our community. So he is in service to his children and in service to his family. He is amazing. Stephen Overby, thank you for doing this today. And then our last guest speaking will be Gloria Smith. Her entire career has been in education and therapy, working with children. She has 3 children of her own. She has 7 grandchildren. She is also the past leader of our women's group here, serves on our gardening team, our welcoming team, and many other activities here at Unity Minneapolis. She shares her life presently with her husband, Michael Obstadt. And I'm going to invite Angie to please come forth and begin for us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So when I was asked about speaking just on my experience about teaching or working with young people, of course, I thought about some of my favorite things about doing that, which is I have a lot of fun getting to be with young people. I get paid to have fun every day at the work that I do in my job, and just really getting to hang out with young people. Somebody also pointed out that most of my volunteering is also related to working with young people. So Sunday mornings, I'm upstairs. I also do some other volunteer work. I have younger siblings and nieces and nephews now, so I get to spend a lot of my time with other people's very cool children. But my other favorite thing is what I'm going to talk a little bit more to is one of my favorite things about working with young people is sort of just this shared learning that happens. So I truly do believe that I'm learning just as much, if not more, from them as they are anything that I could offer to them. So the first one that I sort of will talk about is live fully in the present. So Reverend Pat sort of talked about this, but anecdotally, one of the things that we do is college and career readiness with middle schoolers, and we're just talking about colleges and applications and how the process works and how to get in, and one of the girls that I was working with was just like, why are we talking about this? Like, I'm in the eighth grade. So just like it feeling so far away, but really taking the time to think about where they're at in that moment, and something that I also try to incorporate in my own life. The next one is sort of two things. One, it's okay to be selfish and to not take things personally. And I mean that in a very loving sort of way. Young people, especially middle adolescents, are very self-centered, and it's really part of their developmental stage, right? So I think that something that's really beautiful about that is that they're working on finding themselves and who they are, and we're all sort of trying to do that on our own path, but it takes a lot of time in that age group and in that space to really be self-centered in the sense that they need that time to figure out who they are and not to take it personally. I think just like we all hope to believe that we are always doing our best, young people are always doing the best that they can in that moment. And whether there's behavior challenges or things like that, maybe I don't want to do that, I don't like you, get away from me, kinds of things that maybe all young people have said to you at one point or another, is that there's usually something else, and it's coming from somewhere else, and it's not meant to be an attack at you, but an opportunity to really explore what might be happening in that young person's life. And sort of the last one is your experiences are meaningful and unique. So one of my favorite things about brain development is that in middle adolescence, there's just more synapses and things going on in your brain. The only other time that's rivaled to that is in infancy. So there's really this explosion in middle adolescent brain development. And I think if anybody can remember back to some of your first experiences, those are some of the most vivid, at least they are for me. I think about middle school and how strong some of those memories still are. In the last 10 years, I have no idea what has happened, but just that those things are happening, and they're very vivid, and how there's sort of this idea that no one can truly understand you and your experiences. I have lots of my own memories of being like, you don't get it, you don't understand me, mom or dad or whoever it might be, and I think that there is a lot of truth to that. We're all this unique expression of the divine and of God. And even though we have these similar stories and these similar experiences, that each one is truly our own, and we really are experiencing that in a very unique, personal sort of way. Well, thank you so much. I see a lot of families out there that I've worked with in the past, and I just have to say thank you so much for letting me be a part of your young person's life and being a part of this church community. Thanks.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. So how many have kids? Wow. Did you ever think when you first had kids how you were going to parent them? You know, you had a child and you went, okay, well, now what? My wife actually did, when we had our child, think about how we were going to parent it. And she set out with the intention to create a caring, loving, compassionate children. And it started basically, you know, at birth with attachment parenting. A lot of the attachment parenting relies more on the mother carrying him around, breastfeeding, all kinds of different things. But the parent or the father plays a huge role in it too. With the same kind of thing of making sure they feel secure and things like that. Responding to them as an infant. When they're crying, they got a reason they're crying, and you need to respond to them and find out why they're crying. We've been in grocery stores, and I hear kids crying in the cart, and it just kills me because they need something. That's why they're crying. They're tired. They're hungry. They don't want to be there, and you need to acknowledge that. All the way through, all the time. I mean, I have one that's a teenager. You need to acknowledge why they're upset. We have a nonviolent environment. I'm proud to say that we have never spanked our kids, never hit them on the wrist, never threatened to ever spank them. We used to do timeouts, and we found that it really doesn't work very well either. It's just kind of pointless. So the way we do it now is we sit down and with them and find out why they're having the reaction that they are. You know, what's going on? And that's a much better way to use the term discipline, I guess, than actually go for a timeout or that kind of thing. We have a wide range of friends and kind of circle that we hang in. One of my son's first babysitters was an Indian family, and they used to take him everywhere. They'd take him to temple, they'd take him to celebrations, they'd take him to weddings. He got such a great exposure for diversity and things like that, how their culture works. Letting them do what they, you know, not what they want to do, but letting them experiment, let them make the mistakes, and then sit down and figure out if there was a better way we could have done something. Acknowledging their feelings, looking at things from their perspective, why we're getting the reaction that we are, you know, and as adults, I think even as adults, we need to treat other adults like that, and we forget it. That you know, why are you reacting the way that you're reacting? What can I do to help you? You know, it's not all about me. And then lastly, I guess our spiritual family. We have a great spiritual family here. Reverend Pat says he's not qualified to teach children. I beg to differ. He's created such a great environment here with the education that we have. And lastly, I think a quote from Barbara Coloroso, who has written a few children's books. Our children are counting on us to provide two things, consistency and structure. Children need parents who say what they mean and mean what they say and do what they are going and say what they are going to do. And that, I think, is the most important part for our kids. Thank you.
First of all, I want to do a disclaimer. This is not a talk about how to. I use my words today as a reminder to us to help us remember what we believe. I'll focus on three points. We teach children whether we do it consciously or not. We can teach them to dream, but not give them our dreams. When we teach them from a place of love and not fear, they become the expression of God's love in this world. So children learn from us whether we consciously try to teach them or not. How we teach them is as important as what we teach them. Children learn by mirroring us. We want them to know the difference between right and wrong. And that's such a generalization. What is right and what is wrong in their world? There's so much in between that helps a person become an expression of love in the world. Do we want them to be an expression of love in the world? Children? Aren't they too young to learn such responsibilities and virtues? Can't we at least wait until they get older and just let them be children now? While it's important to teach the academics, which I did, the critical thinking skills of physics and math, of reading, the science, technology, and writing, there's so much more to be taught that allows a child to develop all they can be in their lifetime. We want them to be successful. What is success? Who will decide? We want them to be happy and to know joy. We want them to be productive citizens. Those of you who are currently parenting children or have parented children or helped raise a grandchild, a younger sibling, a neighbor's child, a unity child in the classroom, or have been active in an adolescent or young adult's life in any form, perhaps your adult children also. Just close your eyes for a moment. Envision that child or person now. What are the dreams you had or currently have for that person? Children can learn the traits of positive character when they know we believe in them, know that we trust them, and believe they can handle life situations, when they know that we listen to them and that they are cared for and loved, and they know they're very important to us. Children must learn the positive character traits in order to have a worthy life. Such things as trustworthiness, be honest, and have the courage to do the right thing. Respect. We hear that word so often, but thinking about respect is huge. To be tolerant and accepting of differences and diversity and still see the oneness. Responsibility. Do what you're supposed to do. Be accountable for their words, actions, and attitudes. Fairness. Play by the rules. Take turns and share. Be open-minded. Listen to others. Don't take advantage. Caring. Be kind. Be compassionate and show you care. Express gratitude. Forgive others. Help people in need. Be charitable. Empathy. Oftentimes we think children are unable to empathize. Yes, it's developmentally measured. But children are more likely to show empathy and develop a strong sense of empathy when their own emotional needs are met at home. Children learn from how they are treated by us in our society. They notice how we treat others, how we listen or judge others, how we are accepting and tolerant of others. They see us when we are courageous and kind, even to strangers. When we are compassionate with them, they learn compassion. And I just want to say that in the years that I've taught children, they have taught me much, much more. And I am reading from Cahil Gibran in closing. Your children are not your children. They are sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. Life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bowls from which your children are living arrows and sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bowl that is stable. Thank you.
As I said earlier, one of my favorite things to do is to be at a christening service and provide that for families. And one of the things that I do, of course, the christening is for the child, but it's not for the child's salvation. It is not for the child's, we got to save you from going to hell. It's none of that. The christening is for the family and the charge that is given to the family and the importance of that charge concerning this child. So I charge godparents and the parents, but I believe that we also have a responsibility as a spiritual community for our children. We have a responsibility, and I am really grateful that this community takes this responsibility seriously. First of all, I believe it's really important for us to provide education that is child age appropriate, and that we do. I think another thing that we can do as a community, my friends, is know that our life is our teaching. Our life is our teaching. I'll close with a short little story. It seems like there was a mom, and it was her first child, and the child was fretting and in the crib and fretting, and she could not get the child to stop crying. She had the book in her hand. She was reading from the book. She called her doctor. She told the doctor exactly what she was doing. And the doctor on the other end, in his infinite wisdom, said, "Put down the book and pick up the child." I think that sometimes we with our children, yes, even here in youth and family ministry, we think we have to be the right teacher, we have to know the right stuff to say, we're concerned about getting it right, and I think that that's our lesson. It's time that we put down the book and picked up the child, not necessarily physically, but give our attention to the child. Give our attention to the child. I promise you, children can read minds. If you notice that, they know. They know what you're thinking. They know from the energy that we put out whether or not they're welcomed or whether they're not welcome. So I give thanks for this community and its willingness to support a full youth and family ministry program. And you, too, can be a part of that. Oh, I'm slipping into car selling right now. I won't do that, okay? But you, too, can be a part of that. I love you. I bless you. I give thanks for you. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, Cheryl. And at this point, we're going to invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. We're going to receive our gifts and our tithes. I invite the ushers to come forth. Also, if you're streaming with us today, we also invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis on our secured website. Let's take our gifts in our hand and center ourselves again in this one presence and one power. And I will affirm our offertory church blessing and then ask you to affirm it with me and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. So let us take just a moment as we bless these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, and we bless the gifts that's been received in the mail this week. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program, unexpected income program. We bless all of these gifts and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. I want to thank Laurie Dockin for the music for this series. I think it was a great choice. Most of you knew all of the songs. So, also, I want to remind you that, you know, as I was thinking back, the first time I came to a Unity church was a friend inviting me to come. And if you think about it, more than likely someone invited you to come to your first experience at Unity. So next week is Friendship Sunday. We invite you to pay it forward. Bring a friend with you next Sunday. I promise you, we will be very nice, okay? So bring a friend. Also, on the way out, the ushers have these great little cards, their little invitation cards. And then also next week, we have at 1 o'clock, we have a debut of Cookies, Juice, and Nancy. It's a great opportunity for you, if Spirit is tugging at your heart, to explore our youth and family ministry. She'll be hosting that at 1 o'clock next week. And then at 2 o'clock next week, bring your pets. And Reverend Jeanette will be blessing pets and We have an intuitive animal healer present as well, so come and be a part of that. We've had everything from everything to horses even, so all pets are welcome here. I hear children out there. Thank you, God, I hear children out there. And I know who they belong to. Let's stand and let's bring them in.
So the people who really are upstairs with our children doing the teaching, we worked on our heart agreements today. At the beginning of every school year, we decide by group consensus what are the rules or guidelines we're going to hold ourselves to. So we started with the preschoolers. I got to be with them today. And we really talk about our body with them. So how will we be with our feet? We'll walk. What will we do with our hands? We'll share. And we ask the questions and they write the agreements. We had our ears. What will we do with our ears? We'll listen to each other. Then you go all the way up to our high school kids, the YOU. These are their heart agreements. So you can see sensitivity to diversity, a right to pass, give it a try and participate. I love this one. For every put down, you have to do 3 put ups. So you have to say 3 wonderful people about that person. This is the work of unity with our young people. If you'd like to be part of it, sign up in the garden court. I'd love to have an opportunity to see what the perfect fit would be for you. Thanks.
Hey, you know what, Nancy? We might come up with some heart agreements in the sanctuary, don't you think so? Yeah. Those were fabulous. And I want to thank these adult volunteers, okay? Together, let us know our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together, we know that the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are,
God is,
and all is well.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, hailing our Central Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. And all along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out of Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Here we go. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I've been gone 500 miles for the day is done. Dealing card games with the old man in the club car. Penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. Feeling the wheels rumbling neat the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers riding their father's magic carpets made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep are rocking to that gentle beat, and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I've been gone 500 miles for the day is done. Time on the city of New Orleans, changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, and we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream, and the steel of the rails still ain't heard the news. The conductors sing their songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train's got the disappearing railroad blues. Good night, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans.